الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. Alhamdulillah, we are on the issue of dealing with calamities, Rida bil Qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we'll talk about the second aspect of resilience. Yesterday and the day before we talked about the first aspect of resilience, which is to face the brutal facts. Second aspect of resilience is to never lose faith in eventual success. Never lose faith that in the end, the people who are right will always succeed. And the people who are wrong will always fail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this with regard also to the akhirah, of course, and we know this. This is our aqidah. That al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the akhirah and the rewards of the akhirah are for the muttaqeen. They are for the muttaqeen. They are not for people without taqwa, they are not for people without Islam, without iman. But even in this world, if you look at it, and that's why I keep on talking about the importance of reading history. If you look at it, every single ruler or every single empire from the beginning of recorded history till today, which has used oppression and which has used cruelty and which has used dominance, military dominance, as its means of expansion, as its means of control. Every single one of those empires has been destroyed and wiped out. Take right from the beginning, take the empire of Alexander the Great, probably the first recording of history. At the time of the Greeks, long before the Roman Empire and so on. Where is Alexander? Which empire? Take the Romans who came after that. Take Julius Caesar was the first. The word Caesar was his name. And Caesar has become a word in the English language meaning ruler. The Caesar of Rome. It was a man's personal name. And that became, so it means that one man was, Julius Caesar, was so powerful that his name went into history as the name for kings. Where is the Roman Empire today? We see the signs of the Roman Empire only in the ruins of the Colosseum and various things which are around in Italy. We go from there. And we take the empire of the Muslims, the Banu Umayyah, the Banu Abbas, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that to stay for a longer time. Where is it today? Simultaneous to that was in India the empire of the Mughals. There were other rulers, there were the Pathans and so on who came before that, but the Mughals are the best known. What are the signs of the Mughals apart from the tombs? Simultaneously to that, we are looking now at around the 12th century. You had the single biggest empire ever to exist on the face of the earth, ruled by one man. And that man was Genghis Khan. Ever, there's no empire, old or new, modern or in the past, which was as large as the empire of Genghis Khan, ruled by one single man, absolute ruler. There is a biography of Genghis Khan written by a man called Man. His name is Man. And he writes that the only remnant of the empire of Genghis is one pillar base which is shaped like a turtle, from the city of the Mongols, the capital city of the Mongols, which was built by the grandson of, by the son of Genghis called Ogdai. One pillar base, which is shaped like a turtle, from the city of Karakoram, which was the capital city of the Mongols. The largest empire ever to exist, the only remnant is one piece of stone, one pillar base. Where is Genghis? Genghis Khan's, Mongol gene is in 25% of the global population. One in four people on the face of the earth have the Mongol gene because of the number of women that the Mongols raped. I'm talking history, I'm not talking opinion, I'm talking history. Then go from there to, I'm not even talking about the Chinese kingdoms and so on, because they were not really empires, they were confined to China, the Han and the Ming and so on. But I'm talking, looking at global empires, expansion. Coming to more modern times, the British Empire, about which it was said that the sun never sets on the British Empire. And a similar thing, Harun Rashid, for example, there's a famous quote of Harun Rashid. Harun Rashid one day was in his palace, he looked at the sky and there were a lot of clouds. And Harun Rashid addressed the cloud. He addressed the cloud and he said, "O cloud, go and rain wherever you want. The revenue from those crops will come to me." Imagine two things. Imagine the size of that kingdom and imagine the arrogance of the king. And Harun Rashid was a pious man, he's not being arrogant, wallahu alam. But the statement is a statement of arrogance. It's to say to a cloud, go and rain wherever you want. And the revenue from those crops will come to me. And a similar thing was said about the British government, about the British Empire, that the sun never sets on the British Empire. And yesterday or day before yesterday, the Russian, in the G8 conference, the representative of Russia, he said, forget about UK, because it's a small little island which no one listens to. And then David Cameron made some statement about that the British are the people with the biggest heart and the most glorious history of plunder and destruction, and that's called glory. Glorious history for bandits. Where is the British Empire? What happened to the Russian Empire? Again, a huge global power. What happened to the Russian Empire? The reason I'm saying this is because this is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of the earth, whether somebody likes it or not. Two parts to the rule. Number one, that nothing lasts. Everything will end, whether it is good or whether it is bad, irrespective. And the second one is that if it is bad, if it is good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the empire or whatever it is will end, but the remnants of that, the effect of that, Allah will keep. But if it is bad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes it out completely. And that's why you find, even though the Muslim rule ended, you find so many good things about the Muslims, what they did and so on and so forth, which outlasted the empires. Even though Genghis Khan almost wiped out the Muslim, he and his son and his grandson Hulegu, they almost wiped out, Hulegu wiped out Baghdad, Genghis Khan himself wiped out the Khawarizm and so on. But today, who exists and who is finished? Genghis and his entire lot is finished, and the Muslims, alhamdulillah, they exist everywhere in the world. So Allah will keep them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not keep, take the Mughals for example. The Mughal empire is gone, but there are remnants and signs of the Mughals in all kinds of ways. Not necessarily Islamic ways, but I'm just saying that, you know, your Sherwani and Biryani are both Mughal. And we cannot... even our Prime Minister wears it. So the, even though he's not a Muslim, eh? So the point is, and they stand on the Red Fort, eh? which was my grandfather's house, and they deliver the khutbah for Republic Day and Independence Day. So the point is that if there is something good, not like, again, I'm not talking about good in the sense of the Sharia, but good generally for the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes it to remain. But if there is any, if it is evil, it is just pure, you know, cruelty and oppression, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes it out. So this is proof in history itself that people who are on the haq must never lose hope. They must absolutely never lose hope, no matter how bad the situation might be. And if you, that's another benefit of reading history, that if you read history, you will realize that alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve and alleviate the suffering of our people and to save them. But remember, imagine if instead of Israel, if Israel was ruled by Genghis Khan, how long do you think the Palestinians would last? Maybe half an hour? Maybe half an hour, if that. So the oppression that we are seeing today, compared to what this ummah has seen, is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. This is like a, you know, Sunday school picnic. I mean, compared to what kind of oppression that the Muslim ummah has suffered through the ages. And yet, the name of Islam and the name of Allah Jalla Jalalu is always, you know, glorious, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never allowed that to fall. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow that to fall. Periodic difficulties will come. And those difficulties, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save those who are afflicted by them and relieve their suffering. And those who are not afflicted by them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save them from those difficulties. I'm not making light of that. When it happens to somebody, it is, they know what they are suffering. So one cannot and should never, that's not the implication to say that, well, this is nothing, meaning that, you know, it is nothing compared to historically what happened. But it is definitely something very severe for the people who are suffering it, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve their suffering, and we must do everything that we can, materially and with our tongues, with our hands, with our money, with our du'as, to help them to come out of those difficulties. Absolutely. We ask Allah for His help, inshallah. But the point I'm saying is that one must absolutely never lose hope. Very, very, very important. Understand. And that's the reason why reading history is important. Understanding the aqidah about the akhirat is important, because it gives us perspective. Perspective is a function of distance. It's a function of looking at something from a slight distance, not being completely embroiled in it. Because if you are right inside it, you can't have perspective. So perspective is very important. And that perspective tells us that inshallah al-musta'an, the people of haq, the people who are mazloom, the people who are being oppressed, will always succeed. There is no way that they will not succeed. Take the one of the classic examples is the examples of the Jewish people. Hitler killed 6 million of them. Right? In the, this is all recorded. I mean, people today, they say we deny the Holocaust. That's nonsense. I mean, it's recorded, it's there, the buildings are there, everything is there. How do you deny something which happened? Right? And why must you deny it? I mean, it's a absolutely horrible piece of the history of the human race. We should collectively be ashamed of what happened. That you just go and kill people like that. I mean, how can anyone with a sane mind ever support something like that? Right? The murder of one person. What does the Quran say? The Quran says the murder of one person is equal to the murder of all of mankind. What about the murder of 6 million people? I mean, those children who died and the women who died and the men who died just because they were Jews. Was that justified? Of course not justified. It is absolute nonsense, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely destroyed the Germans and destroyed the destroyed Hitler and destroyed that entire, I mean, at that time, at the peak of Hitler's power, he was a ruling power. Where is Hitler and what is Hitler? Who will even name their child Hitler today, unless you are insane? I mean, even the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes even the memory of an oppressor to be so zaleel and to be so humiliated that no one will even call his will even remember that name with anything of honor.
Take Firaun, for example, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Who names the child Firaun? Nobody. I mean, if somebody does that, you would say you are insane. I mean, how do you use this name? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the same Jews, I mean, the same people, I mean, today what they are doing is I'm absolutely amazed how people who suffered so much can inflict the same kind of suffering on other people. This is a completely, unbelievable, ununderstandable. People who suffered must have compassion because this happened to them. It's their own personal history. And therefore, one of the first things that they should do is to say that this is something which is evil and we must never allow this to happen. We must become the champions of that which is good. But, may Allah protect us and protect them and give them some sense. They are doing the opposite in Israel, which is a really completely, I mean, psychologically, I cannot understand. How is it possible? Someone who has not suffered oppression can do this, because you can say, you don't know what it means. But these are people who suffered it. They have people who suffered it. Even today, there are people, first generation people who are still alive from the Second World War. They are in their 90s and so forth, but they have personally, physically seen it. Second generation, there are so many people, yet they do what they do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them some sense and give them understanding so that they stop doing that. And may Allah alleviate the suffering of our Palestinian brothers and sisters, especially in Gaza and other places, from what is happening. But point I'm making is, the same people who were slaughtered like animals in an abattoir, today those people are, as a group, they are the most powerful people in the world in terms of influence. They may be small in number, but their influence, nobody can deny that those people have the most powerful influence in the world. How did it happen? It happened because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused it to happen. It happened because those people were genuinely oppressed there, and Allah does not allow the oppressor to succeed forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have the people who were oppressed to remain oppressed and get wiped out. Doesn't happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes those destinies. Because the changing of the destiny is in the hands of Allah Jalla Jalalu. And that's the reason why it is very, very important for us never, never, never to lose hope. Yes, we are suffering. Yes, we are in difficulties. But yes, also, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove those difficulties, will alleviate those difficulties, no matter how impossible it may seem to us today. If we could transport ourselves back to the Baghdad at the time of Hulegu, and if we could be living in Baghdad at that time, and if we were seeing our family being slaughtered before our eyes, and if somebody came and said, do not lose hope, Islam will prosper and Islam will reign supreme, what would you say? You would say, oh, crazy. I mean, this is, which Islam? We are being wiped out here like rats. But now, with the historical perspective, yes, Islam reigns supreme. Hulegu and his family and his kingdom is the one which got wiped out. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. That's the reason why we must read history. And that's why we must never ever lose hope in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps only and only those who are on the haq. Allah helps only those who are right. Allah helps only those who are compassionate and only those who do good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not help and destroys and wipes out those who oppress, even though that oppression may be there for some time. Now, why is it there for some time? And this is another beautiful thing. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayh, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to happen for some time, maybe because he wants to hear your dua. Because he wants to give you an opportunity to make dua. Because he wants to give us, see, unfortunately, we are human beings and we think of Allah, we think of God only when there is trouble. Right? How many people do you know who will stand and who will cry in sujood, and who will cry in sujood and in tahajjud and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh Allah, you gave me this jackpot. Oh Allah, you gave me this kingdom. Oh Allah, you gave me so much. Nobody. You go and have a party. When that happens, you have a ball. You have this big dawat and you call people and you do all this tamasha. But when something bad happens to you, then we cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our own fault. It is our own fault. If we became thankful people, then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not put us through difficulties, because we would be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom, He puts people through difficulties so that they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the difficulties come so that they will return to us. So the difficulty also is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't ask for it, but when it happens, we try to understand it in the light of the Quran and Sunnah. The difficulties are not something to cry about. Difficulties are, alhamdulillah, these are a sign of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah had not given the difficulty, then we would have been in the hellfire forever. To save us from that, Allah gives us difficulty, so we turn towards Him. So these, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah said, that maybe the difficulties come because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to hear your dua. So raise your voice in dua, cry in dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then have complete faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept His dua, inshaAllah. So never ever lose hope. Second point of resilience. First point, face the brutal facts. Don't give it a rosy picture. Don't say that suddenly, don't imagine that suddenly something will happen from somewhere. There's no somewhere. This is the reality. We are in deep, you know what? And therefore, let us understand this very clearly. Face the brutal facts. And second one is, simultaneously, as I said, this is paradoxical, but simultaneously, accept that inshaAllah al-musta'an, we will succeed. There is no doubt about this. InshaAllah, we will succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help. And history is proof of this fact. And the Quran is proof of this fact. We don't need anything more. History is our tajruba, it's our experience. And the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both are proof that haq always prevails. Truth always prevails. Falsehood always goes away. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَذَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is the nature of batil. It's the nature of falsehood to vanish. And therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save all those who are in difficulties and suffering, to alleviate their suffering, to remove the rule of the oppressors from over them, and to guide them to victory, and to help them from sources that they could not imagine, and to show us the victory of truth in our own lifetimes, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and we ask Allah to make us a part of that victory, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.